What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Juice Box. It's your host, Coach John Willis, man. So glad to be with you guys. Sorry about the delay, but it's a new year and we are off and running. Hopefully you're off to a great start. We got a great show lined up, planned for you today. This is going to be a good time, so you definitely want to tune in. Thank you guys for listening. As always, we like to thank our sponsors. Number one, the Juice University and Coach John Willis, Max Hoops, Convoy Basketball, Dr. Bethany Nutrition, Leadership Surge. And shout out to everybody I know who out there as an entrepreneur doing their own thing. So, okay, so on today's show, we're going to dive right into some topics here. So the first thing we're going to get into is the transfer portal. So this is a message that's really going out for high school players, seniors, and those who are graduating and finishing junior college, which would be like JUCO transfers. So if you have a niece or a nephew or a son or daughter who's finishing up high school right now, listen, the transfer portal is a real thing now. So here's the thought process. As a college coach, you have a choice. Should you recruit a player or a high school player? Let's say it's a guy who's like 6'5", he might weigh 180 pounds. Well, there are only six states currently that play with a shot clock, which is a slower game, right? So the high school game right now is played slower than the college game. Now, should I go and invest in a high school kid who may not successfully adapt to the college game? Or should I go recruit a college transfer? There are over 900 kids in the transfer portal right now. And when you add in the fact that everybody who was playing during the COVID year got that year back. So it's like, do I get an 18-year-old, 6'5", 180-pound kid? Or do I get a 22-year-old, 6'5", 225-pound kid? Who's already been to school, who's got college credits already, who's probably on pace to graduate. That's kind of a no-brainer. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't any high school kids that'll get picked up by college teams, but I'm saying those spots are few and far between. 4 years ago, I did the math, and in the state of Oregon at a Division I level, when you add up all of the Division I schools, that's Oregon, Oregon State, Portland State, University of Portland. There are four. There are only eight open roster spots. Eight. So the transfer portal is a real thing. Now that leads me to another question that I must ask. So, because you got to be realistic about yourself and what you're doing in the transfer portal. As the transfer portal can affect you as a high school player or as a junior college transfer. There are other routes that you can go. A lot of kids are going junior college who wouldn't normally go, but that is a route you can go. Some kids are going prep school. I'm just saying you need to explore all of your options just because it's not a lot of space. It's like a traffic jam. But anyway, moving right along. All right, next topic. High school coaches or club AAU guys, let me ask you this, because oftentimes I get video of potential players and they're like, hey, coach, check my guy out. Hey, coach, check out this kid. Well, my question to you is, are you doing any research on the college that you're calling? Because if you're not studying the type of play that the college runs, then that means you're calling and recommending a kid who could be a bad fit. In recruiting, we talk about making sure you choose a college that's the right fit. Well, guess what? You have to be the right fit for the team as well. You know, because if you didn't win a national title, like in Division I, Kansas won a national title last year. This season, Kansas won a national title. So everybody else wasn't good enough. So when you're recruiting players, you need people who can come in and play, period. And if all you ran in high school was 2-3 zone on defense, and you may have run a flex motion offense, and we're running man-to-man, or we're running a high ball screen action, or we're running the triangle or something like that, then you would be in the way. Do you even have the skill set to score? You know, oftentimes we get videos of like point guards who are scoring the ball. Well, what if in our offense, the point guard is a distributor and they have to be able to make post entry passes and they have to be able to draw two and kick. And that's not something that they've done at the high school level because they were just given the ball and told to score. Because if that college coach is truly your friend, then why are you calling them with players that do not fit their system? Because ultimately what you're going to do is you're going to cost them their job. It's just food for thought. Food for thought. All right. We're going to go ahead and we're going to move. We're going to take a little break real quick, and we're going to come right back and we'll talk headlines. Have you ever wondered, how can I get my program better? Are you a supervisor wondering how you can motivate your staff? Are you a program director wondering how you can get your coaches to buy in and to improve your culture? Well, look no further. Visit www.coachjohnwillis.com. He is the leader in motivational training, team building, and culture establishment. Now, make sure you go visit today, www.coachjohnwillis.com, for more info. Or you can shoot us an email at coachjohnwillis@gmail.com for more information today. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Let's go be great together. All right, we're back. Today is May the 12th, and on our headline segment for today, we're going to talk about one Coach Phil Jackson saying that the Lakers should trade LeBron James and build around Michael Jordan. I'm sorry, Russell Westbrook. How about that? So you have to excuse my Freudian slip there. This is what I don't understand. You know, there's no secret that LeBron James has not been a fan of Phil Jackson. There's no secret that Phil Jackson has not been a fan of LeBron James. The truth is this, the NBA is an entertainment business, and the business is booming when the revenue is its highest. So there's no player in the NBA who sells tickets or drives ticket costs like LeBron James. Regardless to whether you like him or love him or hate him or whatever, people pay more money to see games when he's playing in them. And also, he is nearing the end of his career, but there's one thing that he's chasing right now. A lot of people think that it is for him to win the all-time scoring title from Kareem, but that is going to happen. But I don't think that is what he is chasing. Right now, he's chasing to do something that nobody else has done on this particular stage. And this is in the line of the Griffies. You know, he is chasing the chance to play basketball professionally with his son. Why would you try to move LeBron James? Well, first off, he has a no trade clause in his contract. So even if you wanted to trade him, he could not agree to the trade, and then he could leave in free agency. That's the first thing. So this is a mute point anyway. It's just showing like how out of touch Coach Jackson is. Now, I think it is a blockbuster. It is a home run to have a starting lineup with LeBron James and his son. Everybody's going to pay to see that. That will be must-see TV. And furthermore, can we really dive into Phil Jackson and look at him running an organization without one of the best players ever? He looked really good when he had Michael, Scottie, and Dennis. He looked really good when he had Kobe and Shaq. New York, where it was all Phil, not so much. So let's please keep that in mind and keep that same energy. And while we're talking about the NBA, let's talk about how the ball screen coverage from the Phoenix Suns and from the Dallas Mavericks, there has been no adjustment in the entire series. Chris Paul's been able to get wherever he wants to get, pull up, make whatever shots he wants to make. Luka Doncic has been able to do the same thing. You know, we haven't seen them trap either one of them. It's just a switch, and they just go middle and have their way. I just don't understand that. Makes no sense to me. I think the best, on the contrary, I think the best adjustment to I think the best NBA adjustment this postseason has been the Memphis Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies, they lost, or they won last night by 39. That's insane. But the game before that, you know, just the whole Golden State to 101 points, even though they lost the game, but their game plan, which really leads to another question. You know, this is a superstar league, right? So I don't think Ja is going anywhere. But the truth is the Memphis Grizzlies are better when Ja's not on the floor. Just because the ball moves so much. When Ja's playing, everybody's standing still and they're getting stuck, you know, so I know that's a hot take, but hey, this is the place for it. You only get these kind of takes on the Juice Box. All right, last thing for today. Without failure, the most inconsistent thing, or the most horrible thing for these NBA playoffs has been the officiating. There's no nice way to put it. You know, these officials have just, there's just been such a lack of consistency throughout the playoffs. I mean, you look, Devin Booker gets a technical foul for shooting a jump shot and on his follow through hitting Powell. But then two quarters later, Booker goes to get a layup and Powell smacks him in the head, trying to block a shot, doesn't hit any ball at all. It's just a common foul. NBA, you owe us an apology. Have to be better. Have to be better. Okay, everybody, thank you for tuning in to the Juice Box. We invite you to email us, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever platform you may use, Spotify. Thank you for your time. Grace and peace. Have a great day.